All right, everyone, welcome back to the Two Word Review Podcast, where a picture is worth a thousand words, but a movie is worth two. I am Lucas.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Jake.
And today we are going to be talking about the cinematic masterpiece, which is Hot Rod.
Biasing the opinions there a little bit by tacking the word masterpiece.
Masterpiece, yeah.
I definitely am.
That's not just a good either. That's freaking masterpiece, man.
Let's take a second and talk about the word masterpiece. What is a masterpiece to you, Lucas? You just gave Hot Rod the masterpiece title, and I'm saying, in my book, masterpiece is like S-tier, the top. Is that what you meant?
The official definition is a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. And artistically, I think that this is a work of outstandingness.
Fair enough.
That's pretty fair. This movie came out when? I remember it coming out, but I didn't watch it until actually just about a month ago.
2011? 2007, yeah, it's actually. It's got to be around there. My bad. 13 years ago.
When?
2007.
Oh, man, yeah.
Is this pre or post Lonely Island? Because I know the writer of the...
During Lonely Island.
Because isn't the director also... He's in on the Lonely Island, right?
Yeah, he's part three. So Kevin is one, and Rod is one, and then the director is the other one.
So is Kevin the guy that's in it, chapter two?
No, that's Bill Hader. What's his bucket? I can't remember his name.
And he's not involved in Lonely Island, right?
No, he's not. But he was on SNL with them. So these three guys, the Andy Samberg, Yorma Taccone, and Akiva Schaffer, who's the director, were all on SNL together. And they made YouTube videos before that, and they got picked up by SNL, and they were writers and actors on it. And then while they were on SNL, they made this movie. So they bought the script from a different lady, and she's credited as the writer, but they rewrote the entire thing, basically, just to fit their goofy style of comedy and stuff. And obviously, a lot of it is the improv, since that's kind of a standard for SNL people. But then... Yeah, so those three were doing Lonely Island stuff during and after this movie. There weren't any Lonely Island songs in it, though.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do Bleed Over. That would be a little weird.
Yeah, if you want to watch the Bleed Over movie of Lonely Island and these three guys, it's Popstar, which is a much more raunchy movie, but also funny.
Is it a masterpiece?
I would say so, yes.
Is it rated R for graphic sexual content and nudity?
Yeah, and big green flubber butts.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
Oh, we can't avoid it.
Yeah, I mean,
an update. Green flubber butt will always be here.
Update on that situation. So, Lucas, he flew out. I mean, last week he actually recorded the episode with us from LA. He was actually out there with the producer, sorting a few things out, just... Trying to really secure at least a season one of this show, because we believe in it and we want to see it continue to grow and thrive. But we came off a little strong in the first couple episodes, said a few things that, you know, our target audience just shouldn't be hearing. So, I mean, you guys can nonchalantly bring up the flubber butt, but really, I hope you guys think twice before you guys just start making jokes like that, because it truly does have consequence.
The consequences are indeed great, and I might have to fly out to LA again and talk to Matt, our producer, who, you know, he was able to pump us a few more million into this project, get us off the ground, afloat, if nothing else.
We're in front of big people, is the truth. We're in front of big people right now, and we're just trying to... Episode 6, one more episode, it's an idea.
But here's the thing. You know what else was in front of the big people? The green flubber butt.
Yeah, well
they funded that movie. They've seen it. They are probably well aware of this.
Let's look up the budget of Flubber really quick.
I mean, yeah, some of these... some of these pitches, you just have to imagine.
Guess the, just guess. This is absurd. Guess the budget of Flubber.
Well, now that you've said it's absurd, I would guess $4 million, $5 million.
Bro. Oh no, that's wait, let me take my stat.
Yeah.
Let's go.
How much do you think they pay Robin Williams alone?
Probably a pretty good amount. Wow.
Let's go for my bet is going to be, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm thinking slightly absurd here, but let's go $250 million.
No, it's luckily not quite that much, but it was $80 million.
Wow.
$250 million was, I believe, the cost of Tenet.
Yeah, bro. $250 million is pretty standard for blockbusters nowadays. Like, that's the go-to price. It's like, oh, wow.
But now, only keep in mind, Flubber million. Was like, wasn't Flubber like late 90s? So inflation, Flubber that's was, probably even...
Yeah, 97. $80 million, and then it grossed $178 million. So,
hello and welcome to the two-word review podcast where we review Flubber.
Yeah.
all we do is talk about Flubber here.
Look, we got burned. And so when you get hurt, you know, sometimes you have to talk about those things a few times before you're able to move past it.
Yeah.
And I mean, as of last week, we were fighting Hollywood legal battles about referencing Flubber here in the podcast. Yes. And the damage that has on the development of our target audience.
And so, luckily, now
of course we have things to say about it.
And luckily, now that we've stopped referencing Flubber, we should be totally good.
Yeah. We will not talk about the translucent green butt anymore.
No longer. It is done.
Because
it's gone.
The matter is, people in Hollywood are listening to this. Like, we have to call these movies masterpieces because Andy Samberg is probably listening right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
We have to get positive reviews because if we don't, then even more funding cut.
Right. Good to have you with us, Andy.
I want to know what Andy thinks. What do you think of Flubber, Andy?
Yeah, just hit us up, email us.
Just...
You know,
I mean, we all know that was where it all started for you, as that is where it started for many SNL actors.
Yeah.
Flubber. That's where they got their inspiration. They've said that.
They did say that. I can show you an article on Wikipedia.com where that's what is said by famous SNL actors.
The Lonely Island's comedic style is based 100% off of Flubber.
All right, Hot Rod, let's get some reviews going. Okay,
yeah, here's my two-word review. Goofy and hilarious.
Wow, you went for two, you know, subgenres of the word funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
I looked up thesaurus.com, typed in funny, and said, oh, wow, those look nice.
What? Dude, a magician ever reveals his secrets.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Come on.
You definitely for a really long time after watching this cinematic.
Oh, yeah. No, you. I mean, last I talked to you, you were telling me about how you had been researching like the ways of the Tibetan monks and how you spent time in isolation and in silence to come up with these reviews. Because truly, our target audience only deserves the best. So. No, I. What you just said was a poor excuse for a joke.
It was a joke. I'm sorry.
That was a big joke. For big all joke. Those listening, that was a joke.
For all of big the 12 joke. To 15-year-olds, please accept the ways of the Tibetan monks and spend 9 to 10 hours a day meditating to come up with a two-word review.
Yes. That's what I do. I mean, that's why I get paid to do this. I take my profession seriously, unlike a lot of people. And being a podcaster is not easy. So, I mean, it requires concentration, time in isolation, you know, utmost respect and focus for what you're doing and the craft that you're evaluating.
Yeah. I'm with it. And you know what? That's what we do here. All right. And don't listen to people like Lucas that make off-color jokes.
Very off-color.
I'm sorry. So, please don't use thesaurus.com.
Yeah, no, so, really, please.
So my review, yeah, of course, I have to have at least a subgenre of the word funny. And if you think about it, there's a lot. There's wacky, goofy, silly.
Zany.
Silly.
Lest we forget zany. Yeah, lest we forget.
I don't know. This one, in my opinion, is bordering between funny and silly. So it's kind of got, you know, the funny is just like classic funny. It's just classic
words
funny.
From a Tibetan monk. Funny? That's just classic funny. That's what that is.
Then if we use funny as classic funny, then silly is more like
British,
like silly. Monty Python, yep. Yeah. Type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wacky is more like
Looney Tunes,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's see.
Goofy.
Goofy is more like the Goofy movie.
No, it's not like the Goofy movie at all.
Come on, it I'm is just not doing like off color jokes no. here.
Goofy That's movie. No, sorry, not Goofy movie. Goofy the verb, the adjective, sorry. Goofy is more like
it's like skateboarding the opposite way. That's the exact energy.
It's like Tony Hawk's skateboarding underground on PS2.
Backwards.
When you switch it to Goofy.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
No, actually, what's a Goofy one? Like, for example, I'm thinking like Dumb and Dumber. What would that go under?
That's zany. Yeah. That's
zany.
Yeah. So then what is Goofy?
Goofy is hard to define, and yeah, I think that's why...
Goofy is like the Skippy Long John dance.
Yeah, I would say Goofy is kind of like it transcends. It doesn't care. It doesn't try to be classic funny at all. And in my opinion, Goofy is kind of like a lot of what I see on the internet. I would call Goofy at this point. Like it's
no, I would call it zany. I would call it zany.
TikTok is zany.
I think Goofy. What do you think about?
Man, we should start doing two-word reviews of social media websites.
What do you think about Goofy for like something like Beetlejuice?
No.
Well, then what is Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, to me...
Beetlejuice is more silly than Goofy.
It is
more funny than silly, even.
Silly? No. It's silly
for
no.
me. Okay, I'm just gonna no. say this: if you bring in like Beetlejuice, the artistic component of a movie like that is overwhelming to me.
Yeah,
the comedy is the subset. The main feature
but what
is the art.
Comedy in there, like Michael Keaton, you know, doing his whole
shtick,
wacky.
Yeah, wacky.
It's wacky. It's wacky. Oh, what is Flubber? Was Flubber
pinnacle comedy?
I would say Flubber. What, I mean,
the
what
original
do you call
masterpiece,
like
the first,
you know, like
truly good movie.
Humor that's primarily founded on like sexual innuendo. That is exactly what Flubber is. What's the adjective? What's the adjective going in that direction?
Is... Funny. It would probably just be funny.
Yeah. Classic funny.
Just classic funny.
Oh boy.
Okay, I'm sorry, I derailed.
No, Goofy.
But,
Goofy is still an anomaly. I don't feel settled on it.
Goofy.
But proceed.
Goofy was one of the words I used to review Hot Rod.
Yeah, and well, I haven't taken my turn yet, and I promise I had my review before, but I will, spoiler alert, one of my words is Goofy, and I think part of the reason I chose Goofy is because it's one that I don't exactly know what it means. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's safe, because the humor in this movie is kind of a little bit abstract.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I wasn't thinking as hard about the subgenres of funny when I was coming up with my words, and now I don't know.
What was your second word?
My second word was youthful, right? Because it tries to capture that junior high wanting to jump over everything on your bike and
wait, youthful
being
or
a cool guy, youthy.
Is that an adverb or an adjective?
But then if I use like goofy or funny, it would be funny and youthy.
Funny and youthful. Is that your, are you going with classic funny?
I was going to go with but I wasn't really thinking about it. I was going to say silly, but it's not quite silly.
Yeah.
So, but then I don't want to just use goofy because y'all are using goofy.
Well, you can. We can agree.
When our one listener out there is voting, they'll be like, oh, these all have goofy.
Our one listener, Andy Samberg.
Yeah. Andy's listening to this, he'll be like...
Andy, and he, you know what? Heck, I have a thing with Conan. I like Conan. I always talk about Conan. Andy and Conan, they're sitting there, and they would be quite disappointed when they're voting, and they're like, are you kidding me? I only really get to choose between three words this week when I used to be able to choose between, you know, upwards of six.
Then I'm going to go... I'll just go goofy. It's probably the most accurate one. That's so goofy and youthy.
All right. I actually think it's interesting that we all came to the word goofy. We have to move past that, but to be continued on that one, because I do think that we all kind of feel a similar way about trying to describe the humor of this movie. But I'm going to go goofy and heartwarming because... Or wholesome, but I'm going to go heartwarming because I think a big joke of the movie is making fun of, you know, kind of heartwarming, wholesome film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he wants his dad to get better just so he can beat him to crap. Which so is
a funny, that's a funny,
that's a classic funny idea.
Yeah, that's a classic funny idea.
Absolutely.
Oh, another subgenre of funny is, it doesn't end in Y, but slapsticky.
That's wacky. That's just wacky.
Nope. Slapstick is a subset of wacky.
Oh, boy.
Slapsticky.
I like, that was the main thing I wanted to bring up. I actually just think that entire shtick throughout the movie is actually really funny.
Yeah.
Like him doing what he's doing. It captures, and there's modern entertainers in our other podcast, not going to get into that. We've talked extensively about a modern entertainer named Oliver Tree, and he kind of captures that same idea of junior high bad boy, and that's definitely in Hot Rod as well.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love that humor because I completely understand it, and I was there once. And an element still am.
Yeah, I was about to say, once, bro, who are you fooling?
And so I really think stuff like that is funny, where you're trying to be so hardcore, and like in your head, you're the coolest guy ever. But then, like on the outside, it's just hilarious.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's a coming of age moment, even in the film, that dissects that, where... You know, legitimately, the main character believes he's one thing, and then he gets an honest view of how other people actually see him.
Yep.
And that's a coming-of-age moment for all of us.
That's a big one.
But see, once you have that coming-of-age moment, you can still decide to be what you always were, and that is kind of what the movie's about.
Yep.
And I think that's a beautiful message. That's very heartwarming.
Yeah. It is heartwarming.
It is a... It is a genuinely good movie. People will say it's overrated and people will say it's dumb and lame, but I can watch this. This is one of the movies that I could watch over and over and over again and still laugh when he's falling down the side of the mountain or when he gets crap beaten out of him by...
For like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So good, man.
No, it is. It definitely, like, it has moments where you're like, okay, all right. Now I'm tolerating this humor. This is just classic funny happening right now. But then every once in a while, a joke happens that is so next level that it really does not only make you laugh, but makes you want to keep watching and makes you like want to connect with the movie on a deeper level. For me, the scene that makes me laugh the hardest is when he goes out into the woods. He's depressed and he like starts smoking and it's playing like this 80s song. He's just smoking and drinking like epically.
Yeah.
And then he's doing
backflips and
he proceeds to start flipping, and not just flipping, but like they take this joke to the logical extreme, like 20 different shots of him doing flips, and it's super funny.
Yeah.
That was definitely my favorite part.
It is very funny.
The first time I watched this, I actually watched it alone just because I was like, man, everyone, I was like probably 15 or 16, and I was just sitting on my family's computer just in our front room, and I was just like watching it as people were like cycling in and out of the room, and I was just laughing so hard. But I remember specifically my mom came into the room when the guy was describing his tattoos.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The edgiest part of the movie. And he's like, my mom is just watching me watch. She's like, what the heck are you watching? What is this? And I'm like, it hasn't even been like this in all the whole movie. And then he's describing these profane tattoos.
Yeah, that was I do recall that. Oh, yeah. That scene.
That's some classic funny.
That's some classic funny, because that is where we just determined all sexual innuendo humor goes, right? It's absolutely classic funny.
It's classic funny.
Yeah, classic funny.
Absolutely. And the Lonely Island love doing that.
Oh, they're very classic funny. They're trained in the classics.
Absolutely.
But dude, I really do love this movie. It is freaking funny. And it actually is like got some substance to it that makes it like not just a popcorn comedy film. It actually hits on some really funny topics that I like. So it's great.
Likewise. 5 out of 5. Great movie. Top 10 comedies. Yeah,
it's good.
For sure.
I don't believe in giving ratings. I believe in giving 2-word reviews.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have associated my rating system with my 2-word reviewing.
No, you definitely should not have.
You've been
biased this whole, yeah, super off color this episode.
Yeah,
like from the beginning, a masterpiece. Like, oh boy,
I know. I'm just going off the rails.
I mean, if Andy's listening, you're giving him some fan service, but geez, fan service is overrated. Do not get me started on fan service and fan culture in general. It is a terrifying. Like, people think furries are scary. I think any fandom is terrifying.
Well,
any fandom.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're introducing a comparison.
Yeah, you are.
Oof. Furries are still scary.
Okay, here's the truth.
Furries are...
No, listen.
Okay,
listen. Listen to me. Every time fandom culture becomes furry fan art and or random... classic funny in the sexual innuendo type way fan art, every time, dude. The internet takes fandom culture is insane.
True.
Yeah,
but you can still like something and not have to buy into that culture.
Yeah, but if you like it too much, you'll become a furry.
No.
Wow. If you like anything too much, the only path it leads you down is that of becoming a furry.
I think that is the natural path. Yes. No, if you like anything too much, you will eventually become a furry fandom person of what you like.
No.
Yes, you will.
I disagree, but that's an interesting logic.
I get what you're saying with it, but it's too extreme, and I disagree.
Well, I agree it's too extreme. I said if you like it, if you choose to identify, I'm not just saying, you know, like, I enjoy this is part of me. I am saying take that leap of fandom bravery and make your fandom your identity. That is when you are in furry territory.
Well, yeah, but that's different than liking something, quote, too much.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that is definitely liking something too much, though.
Yeah, but that's like way too far. That's like the other end of liking.
That's an
too
absurd
much.
Level of liking someone that I think less than 1% of all human life will ever get to. I think less than 1% of humans will become furries of their fandom.
I become a little concerned having just, you know, I'm a part of a few subreddits and a few fan pages, and I hope it's less than 1%, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, it does just depend on the type of content that they create too.
Yeah. I guess we'll wait and see. And in 10 years, if I'm a hot rod furry, then I'll give you $10.
I mean, you could Google it right now, just hot rod furry fandom. I'm pretty sure that will yield promising results.
I hate how accurate that is. That is.
Do upsetting. Not Google that. Do not Google that.
All right. Word associations.
Yes, let's do it. I think I'm gonna do Jake this time. I don't remember.
Okay, let's do it, my man.
All right. Zany.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Dumb and Dumber. That was unfair, bro. We already talked about this.
Well, did we call Dumb and Dumber zany, though?
Yeah. I believe you referred... Well, let's not playback, but I think you might have said... No, I think you did say zany.
No, I initially said...
Wacky?
Goofy, maybe.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber's more
you said zany, and then I agreed.
I think it's pretty wacky.
Yeah.
It resembles a cartoon.
I'm pretty sure you said zany, just like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's very possible. I do. I can approach Dumb and Dumber from a few different angles.
Yeah. It also is very classic funny.
Yes. By classic funny, we just mean sexually.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I don't know.
Well, that
Flubber sent us down a path that we need to recover from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Please forgive us, Conan and Adam.
Andy.
Adam is probably
Adam
watching.
Adam Sandler is also listening.
So his son, Andy Samberg, is listening. So
I tell you, we're in front of big people. We're in front of big people.
We do appreciate your attendance, Adam Sandler. We do appreciate it. I love bedtime stories. Great work.
Enough. You have a word.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have a movie, so now you have two words.
Okay.
Dumb and Dumber in and of itself is a two-word review of itself.
Oh.
Holy crap.
Dude.
Holy crap.
Should I even desecrate it by giving my own?
Well, do you truly believe that it is Dumb and Dumber? I don't believe it's Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Okay. First and foremost, I actually really like Dumb and Dumber.
Likewise.
I think it is a pretty good movie.
I think Dumb and Dumber was the first comedy that I really, really liked that was kind of edgy.
Yeah, I liked it, but I would say Dumb and Goofy.
Oh.
Dumb and Goofy?
No, I'm kidding.
You did not. Like, that was... That's not even off color. Like, off color is disrespectful. This...
All right. I would say, like... I don't even know, dude. This one's not good.
Yeah, that is why we're here doing this. Don't overthink.
All right.
Just say it.
I would say dumb and extreme. Dumb and extreme.
Because
it's just like so over the top that you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, that works.
That's,
it is stupid to not repeat dumb.
Okay, stupid and, no, because then stupid implies that the movie is like not good. And it is good.
I guess,
so dumb is more like...
But is stupid dumb. Also a subgenre of comedy?
It definitely is.
It is.
There you go.
All right, that's what I'm going with. Dumb and extreme.
Cool.
Dumb and extreme.
Okay, Aaron, let's go. This will be... I think I know what this association...
Association?
Yeah.
Association?
I'm hearing myself twice.
Oh, no, that's fair.
I think I know what this association will be. Blood.
Hannibal.
Oh, not at all what I was thinking.
Silence of the Lambs is what I guess I would say, but I'm thinking specifically of the second movie. Do you know what that movie's called? The second one in the trilogy.
Red something?
Yeah, that's the movie I thought of, though. That movie is very scrumptious.
Mm. Curious. I thought you were going to say Brain Dead.
Oh, Red Dragon is what it's called.
Yeah.
Red Dragon.
So, yeah, I'll go with bloody and scrumptious.
Mm. Mm.
That sums up that movie quite well. That is like, I did not enjoy that movie. I really like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
But that second one was just bloody and scrumptious. It was like exploring Hannibal Lecter as a cannibal, and that's just not too fun a subject matter, frankly.
Of course, you know, the first movie does well, and they're like, oh, you liked that? Get ready for this!
Yeah, literally.
That's what they always do.
And the thing with that is the same reason I don't want to watch these sequels is the same reason I don't want to watch the Psycho sequels. It's because I like the first one so much, I don't want them to be tainted by poor sequels. And I've heard these sequels are better. Like, they're not bad, but...
Well, I don't like it, like, but as far as did they ruin it because, like, I felt that they weren't true to what it was, no. But I just, frankly, didn't want to see that side of Hannibal Lecter. I like the more psychological side of him. That's far more apparent in the first one.
And have you watched the show, Hannibal?
No, I want to. Yeah, I think we will start it.
More psychological, but also there's going to be some bone eating as well.
Some scrumptious yum yums.
Some marrow sucking goodness.
Oh boy. Yeah, no. That's definitely what comes to mind. That's a good word though, blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'm giving it to Lucas. You ready? Here's my word.
Okay.
Metal.
Age of Ultron. Avengers. We have yet to talk about any superhero movie, I think.
Yep.
Just horror so far, and then today we talked about the cinematic masterpiece, which is Hot Rod, which cannot be defined by any category or genre. Only genre. Masterpiece.
It definitely transcends, you know, the funny subgenres in a lot of ways. It's one of those that can be seen from a few perspectives.
Yep.
All right, but you're not getting out of this.
Age of Ultron. Let's see. People give
which
it
one
crap,
is,
but I actually like it.
Is this the second Avengers movie?
Yeah, this is the one. So I'll do my review. Let's see. I'll say exciting and exploratory. Because the thing about this movie was that it was very... It had to set up a lot of crap that people will criticize it for. Because, like, Thor has his little subplot of trying to look for gems, which is kind of immediately nullified in Thor 3. But there's all these little things that they're kind of like, oh, look, we need to set this up and this up for the sequels because this is the movie that they're all together for. It didn't work super great, but I still thought it was enjoyable. Like, I thought it was entertaining. I liked some of the stuff they threw in. Like, they even set up Black Panther in that one and Vision and all sorts of stuff. And so they had a lot of crap they had to throw into it. And then Ultron was just kind of the villain still. But, yeah, I
remember Vision. I thought Vision sucks.
Yeah, it's...
Bro,
oh my
lame.
Goodness.
Vision was the best part about the movie, I thought.
No. Very cool. Vision is lame. Seriously lame.
I think...
I
think the new show looks genuinely interesting, and I think you guys would like it. It seems like a type of style that you guys would dig. But that doesn't come out until January. So, and also not a movie. So another lash.
And it's on and it's on Disney Plus, which is the third lashing. We still don't have Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, you can just do your free trial once the show comes out.
Is Flubber on Disney Plus?
I believe so. It is actually. Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's it. It can't be in my household.
Be in my household.
No way. It's way too much classic funny.
It can't be in yours, but must be in Jake's.
Superhero movies, that would be an interesting we'll get to it. I'm certain
we'll get to
it, but I think it's funny what Taika did with Thor.
Yes,
definitely. And I like that his philosophy about that really does seem to be like kind of like against the establishment. He's like, yeah, whatever they're doing with Thor, I'm just doing Thor how I think Thor should be.
Yeah.
Completely.
And it is way better, is the thing. Everyone liked it more, including the actors. Like, Chris Hemsworth was like, yeah, I freaking want to quit. This sucks. And then he made Thor 3. He's like, yeah, man, I'll be Thor for the rest of my life.
Thor Ragnarok, that's my favorite one.
That's a good one. Likewise, I love that one. But I'm just kind of a fan of Taika as well, who is probably also listening. Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Man. Shout out to Taika.
I don't know. I can't decide if Taika's listening or not, because like we're in front of big people, and Taika is a big person in the business, but he probably doesn't care.
Yeah, you know, frankly, he's too cool to care.
Frankly, he probably doesn't care. He'd probably rather just grab smelly markers and draw things on himself than listen to a podcast about, you know, whether or not Thor Ragnarok was a good move for the enterprise that is Marvel.
Well, and he already knows that it was.
I know, because he's ahead of the game.
Yep.
By the way, have you seen his Instagram where he's just like him in quarantine with his two daughters?
I think they're his daughters, yeah.
Yeah, he just funny. Like he looks like he's just gooning around with those guys.
No, he probably is just the ultimate king of dad jokes. They're just like,
oh yeah,
why are you doing this?
I know, I'm not kidding about drawing smelly marker imagery on his body. That's probably what he's honestly doing right now.
Yeah. All right, well, it has been a good one. Hot Rod, check it out if you have yet to see it. You've probably seen this one. It's, you kind of can't escape it if you've lived around teens with this type of humor. But it is a good one. It will make you laugh and make you goof and gaff.
Oh, I have to inject, I know we're closing, but I do have to inject this about Hot Rod that I kind of failed to say. But do you think, because 2007, I mean, you formalizing that year, do you think Hot Rod is a movie that was fairly influential into the direction of, you know, internet humor that you see now, like meme culture? Because like this is kind of before junior high kids were doing everything that they do on the internet, and that's, I think that this is like early YouTube level, like setting the stage for the direction that things would go.
I think so. I think it was at least influential. Sure, influential. But I think, like my own experience, I think back earlier YouTube. I remember like the whole I'm on a boat thing.
Yeah.
Lonely Island. I mean, those guys obviously were there right at that time. So absolutely, I think so.
I would say that the Lonely Island, that like part of it has more of an impact than this movie specifically, because this movie, not a ton of people saw in theaters, and it's gotten way bigger cult status in the following years. Because like 2007 and for those subsequent years, I don't think a ton of people saw this. But as kind of, I guess, the people who are our age with our types of senses of humor, maybe it was influenced by other things. And then we also discovered Hot Rod, which just fueled that fire. So I think it definitely had some sort of an impact. But I look at like TikTok and stuff like that, and I do not feel like, oh man, this is such a good Hot Rod vibe.
I agree. I guess you should be careful with the word modern. I'm speaking mainly to, I think we nailed it. It has early YouTube energy, like to the max.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
And frankly, I miss early YouTube. Like, I miss it dearly. When YouTube was a place where like pretty normal people posted, like normal, by normal I mean it's not insanely high budget, and there were lots of people doing comedy sketches.
Yep.
It was a different place.
But yeah, it was fun. It was very fun.
Anyway, if you want that energy, I think Hot Rod is a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, if anyone has any suggestions for us, please feel free to let us know. Hot Rod is just one of our favorites, so we decided to talk about it. And since it's no longer Spooktober, we'll still be watching horror movies, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be reviewing horror movies on the podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all we got for you. Hope you enjoyed this 30-minute rant about the subcultures of comedy, and hope your zany, wacky, goofy, silly, funny, classic goodness continues. This has been the Two Word Review Podcast, where a picture is worth 1,000 words and a movie is worth 2.